When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Of all these opinions, this is the one that continues to blindside me, dumbfound me, gobsmack me, thunderstrike me.
Just blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
This is the Overreaction Podcast. I am Chase. With me, as always, my man, Cody. You can find us on X at Trophy Chase TFDR, at Cody Smith TFDR. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Absolutely freaking exhausted. I am exhausted of talking about this rookie class. I am exhausted of 4 months of prep that we're putting into this. The last 4 hours of my night before we went live here, I'm trying to get through the bottom 25 to 30 at each position just to make sure I'm caught up on everything, because what we've got coming, you've heard it 1,000 times probably by this point if you tap into this channel, it is 48 hours-ish away from the draft stream, Thursday through Saturday, and we will be live bringing it to you the entire time. That means you still got 48 hours to put in that promo code on Underdog, DDD. Put in your $10. Make sure you get into all the contests, the giveaways, everything that you've heard on this channel over the past 2 months of we've been pushing. You've been pushing it off. I know I'm a procrastinator as well. I would push it off too, so don't worry about that, but make a new account. Put that $10 in. Join us on the draft stream. You've heard everything here before, but it is going to be an awesome ride. You'll be hanging with me at least all 8-ish hours of the Saturday stream, and I'm sure I'll be on there. Chase, you'll be on there too throughout the first 2 days as well. Here and there, as much as we can be, we will be bringing you live and immediate reactions to all of the NFL draft this week.
Yeah, but again, make sure you tap into the Destination Devi YouTube live all 3 days. Going to be an absolute blast. And if you've seen anything on X, you've noticed all of the free giveaways. Again, the jerseys, the autographed jerseys, the Heisman tier giveaways, team reviews. There's going to be tons and tons and tons of stuff. So again, use code DDD over at Underdog with your new account. And on your first time deposit, you do get up to a $100 deposit match, but I believe it's $10 will get you into all of the drawings. So make sure you go over there and do that over at Underdog, code DDD. So anything else you want to plug? I mean, truly, this is it. This is draft week.
This is finally here. This is the only thing you should be focused on this week. I know we've got other stuff to plug, but we plug it every week. We'll plug it again after this week. But this is the only thing that you should be focused on right now is the NFL draft. This is what we've been waiting for since the Super Bowl, really. I mean, yep. We've gotten through everything. We got through the combine. We got through Senior Bowl. We got through pro days. And now we're finally here. All of this exhaustion, and you're tired of hearing about everything, probably. We're finally here to this point. Now let's just let it play out over the next 3 days of Thursday through Saturday to where we can finally start talking about actual landing spots and not mocks of landing spots and everything else that we have to do to fill kind of that dead void until we get to the new dead void. And we have to wait till September until football is really back. So now we're going to be waiting until training camps are starting up and OTAs and voluntary OTAs and who's coming back and everything like that. But before we kick off the show for today, we've got to get into the newest segment on the Overreaction Podcast, and that is Cody's Crusties. And so we're going to go through the transactions that have transpired over the past week and talk about everything, no matter how gross it is, if it could potentially impact Dynasty Fantasy Football. First and biggest one is J.K. Dobbins signing with the Los Angeles Chargers on his one-year deal, along with fellow running back Royce Freeman signing to the Dallas Cowboys to potentially be the best running back in the room off the street, day one walking into that building, which is pretty upsetting if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. Sorry, shout out to Ray and Gene. I know you've been struggling with it right now, and the team's on the kind of fence right now. But we also got Jaylen Waddle getting his fifth-year option exercise. Tua is looking for that contract yet, but Jaylen Jalen Waddle is locked up for that fifth year option. And then we go to your Denver Broncos making the splash of Monday as we saw Zach Wilson finally basically paid to leave for the return of a sack of one potato. Is what I kind of contributed to. I could feel like that's about equal value, about 50 or, you know, 20 slots up in the seventh round. Purely just, we're paying you to leave so you can go to that team. And now he might be the best quarterback on the Denver Broncos. That's your starting quarterback week one, Chase. I want to say congratulations to you and your team. Any comments there?
I already put it in Heisman. My fandom is up for grabs. I'm looking for a new team. I'm going to enjoy this process of really taking my official visits, enjoying just, you know, what these other teams have to offer and finding a new home for my fandom, because I don't think I can do this for another year of Sean Payton or more. I just don't know what's going to happen in Denver. And right now it's gross. My least favorite player of all time is Zach Wilson. And now I have to somehow, I guess, cheer for him. I guess so. It's just not going to happen. I'm just abandoning the Broncos. My lifetime fandom is just gone. So that's my comment.
We'll leave it at that. I don't have anything more to say that wouldn't get me in trouble here. So the other things that we got, this is going the real, now we're going down to the bottom of the barrel stuff. Matt Ryan officially retiring from the NFL. So if you still have that inactive team that you've been holding on to a Matt Ryan share for the past 2 years for some reason, go through and check. Finally cut them off your roster, free up a clogger space, and actually get a different usable quarterback or running back on that team. Then we go even further down. Dario Ogunbowale, the running back for the Texans, is re-signing with the team. And that is important because he is also their backup emergency kicker, if you remember that from the 2023 season, coming in and kicking a field goal to win the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which was eventually one of the wins that contributed to them getting into the playoffs and CJ Stroud's rise to fame. Love me some Dario Ogunbowale. I said I was going to get a jersey then. I didn't. This is a good reminder. I need to get myself a Dario Ogunbowale jersey whenever the new jerseys for the Texans come out. And then finally, the most disgusting one that I have seen, Mitchell Wilcox signs with the New England Patriots as a tight end and depth blocking tight end, which literally doesn't have an effect on anything, but he's a fantasy relevant player, I guess, that you could pick up if you were delusional and crazy.
That is Cody's Crusties. So, we're going to make sure we hit all of the potential free agency moves and things like that, because it is important and things do happen. You know, J.K. Dobbins is a significant signing if you're a J.K. Dobbins stan like me. This is just a painful Cody's Crusties for me. You talk about J.K. Dobbins, talk about some Zach Wilson and my Broncos, like just absolute pain. But anyways, yes, Cody's Crusties wrapped up here. So today we're going to get into our rookie superlatives in a way. We're going to talk about maybe some players that we're higher on than most, maybe some guys that we're out on, and kind of look at some different areas of the draft that we're targeting certain players, some deep sleepers, some landing spots as far as team wise that we might be really interested in. So we're going to go through positionally, really break down what our thoughts are on some of these guys, why we're in, why we're out, and that'll wrap up, you know, NFL draft, I guess, NFL draft rookie week in a way. And we'll kick things, you know, bring things back next week when we have actual landing spots for our mocks and all of our drafts starting up next week. So it's going to be a very busy next, I'd say 10 to 14 days for rookies,
all, the NFL, all the rookie drafts kicking off. Yeah. I mean, you and me probably have from Monday to Friday 80% of our rookie drafts kicking off, unless they've happened already previously to the NFL draft, which I think I did two of those. Yep. So yeah, it's going to be, it doesn't slow down from here. It only just picks back up, and then you're back on the clock, unless you're on those win now teams that we have, where we have no picks. And those are nice leagues to just sit back and watch, kind of.
Agreed. So yeah, we'll get into some of the rookies here and just break things down, as I mentioned, positionally. So we're just going to start things off with quarterback. I feel like there's not a lot of deep dives we need to go into here. So let's just start it off here. Who is your non-Caleb guy that you think is going to get a second contract, like an actual second contract?
So before we really get into quarterback, we'll get right back to this, but I have to put one thing in here, because people might be saying, why are you spending so little time on quarterback? Why are you only doing two things here? I like this quote that I just saw from Guru Fantasy World that came through my timeline just a little bit ago. There are very few people qualified enough to say, watch the tape in regards to a quarterback prospect debate. be wary out there. And that's why we're not going to try to give you quarterback in-depth analysis, because if we are trying to do that from our place, whenever NFL franchises that are billions of dollars in value cannot do it, I don't think I'm qualified to do it for you either. And so while I do think I have a little bit of knowledge to talk about running backs, wide receivers, anybody who's out there telling you that they have the model to break QB prospects, I'm sorry, you probably don't. So if we're going to get into what guy I think has a second contract, though, I think you and me are probably aligned on this one, and I'm going to go quarterback out of UNC, Drake May. And obviously, this is before landing spots happen, but I think you and me both see him as quarterback two, potentially, in this class. Actually, in fantasy rankings, NFL rankings, I do have him two. Fantasy rankings, I have him three. But if you're just looking for the overall prospect development, now he is going to be a little bit more developmental than some of the other guys, like a Michael Penix that could probably just step in there. Everybody's talking about the mechanics need some work. But even if he were to go to the Patriots, which is what it kind of looks like on the books right now, I do believe that just with the tools, traits, and abilities, if there's any progression whatsoever, that Drake May is the guy. Outside of Caleb Williams, who is almost secured to get a second contract unless he's Bryce Young bad, I think it's Drake May who's going to reach that second contract before anybody else does.
Yeah, we're in lockstep there. I mean, Drake May has the physical tools to be successful. If he can continue to grow, there's going to be an NFL team that gives him a shot, and most likely it's going to be the team that drafts him. So there's a high probability it's going to be Drake May. I'd love to say Daniels, but I still have some question marks there. I think fantasy-wise, he could be awesome, and maybe it works out for all three of these guys as far as the big three. But yeah, Drake May is just kind of like my go-to. I've loved Drake May coming in, you know, into UNC. Love him now coming into the NFL, and think that as long as he can avoid getting absolutely, you know, Mac Jones in New England, then he's going to get that second contract.
All right, so we can move into the largest fade on the other side, since we're pretty much in lockstep on that one.
Yeah.
Largest fade, and we're going to keep this one of those top six quarterbacks that everybody thinks could sneak into the first round. Let's say they all go somewhere in that first round. Let's say it's one of those crazy drafts where you see six freaking quarterbacks in the first round, which I don't believe has ever happened, but they all go staggered from about QB or pick one all the way to like pick 20, 25, somewhere around there. So you got all of them. And you would think if that happens, probably all these quarterbacks in the Dynasty Superflex draft are going top 14-ish in a Dynasty rookie draft. Which one would you have to fade the most at cost? So you're probably tiering it all the way from Caleb Williams at the quarterback one, all the way down to like Bo Nix being at the quarterback six for most people. Which one would you fade the most, saying, I could not invest that top 16-ish pick in a Dynasty Superflex league?
There's two that come to mind. One is obvious, you know, Shane hates him. You hate him. I'll say hate's a strong word. We don't really care for him, but, so we'll leave that one there. But I think at cost, if this guy does go, let's say in the top five picks, like that has been rumored, even top 10, JJ McCarthy, I think is going to be one of those guys that's gonna be tough to figure out where to draft him in rookie drafts. And if you're telling me I have to take him at the, you know, 105, 106, 107 range, like over an Odunze or a Bowers, even like, you know, even at 108, like, I guess that's just because he's the next logical guy. There's just something about JJ McCarthy where I do think that developmentally he could be a very good NFL quarterback. This is nothing against him, but it just comes at cost of like what is in that range. And if JJ does go four to Minnesota, you know, like, let's just say something like that happens, I'm gonna have a really tough time pressing draft on JJ McCarthy in the top seven, because most likely that's where he's gonna end up going. If he goes to Minnesota, people are gonna lose their ever loving mind for JJ McCarthy, and so that's why I'm gonna stick with him on this one.
It's gonna be so hard for me to fade the Minnesota quarterback just because of what we've
right,
seen
exactly
there. And yet I'm with you. Like, if I have to spend a top 107, 108 pick, and there's still Michael Penix and Bo Nix that get decently high draft capital, even if they don't get first round draft capital, but they still get second and they have a pathway to get to a starting job, or they have a battle for the starting job, man, I'd almost rather just take it at cost, because what's that elite upside in terms of fantasy for JJ McCarthy? Like, I know he's mobile and everything, but he's not going to be a 300 plus yard rusher, I don't think, over the course of a year. And if you're not providing that upside, you need to be a pretty elite proficient passer. and you've never shown me the volume to be able to do that. Now, can that change within the NFL? Would that change within a system like Kevin O'Connell's Viking system? I do think it would change there, but I haven't ever seen it, and it's got to translate. And so, yeah, at cost, I've softened a lot of my Bo Nix hate. I've softened a lot on it. It's more of my past. Watching him in the SEC in person was definitely not pretty. But he's shown some development in other areas. Obviously, whenever you're 29 years old entering the NFL, you should. So it's going to be J.J. McCarthy for me as well. We're in lockstep at the quarterbacks, but I guarantee you it will not happen running backs through wide receivers. This is where we're going to go off the walls.
I just want to touch on Bo Nix real fast here because I know you said you've come. Did he develop in college? Yes, he did. He grew from the time he was a freshman to the time he's a senior, and that's kind of what you'd expect. But I just don't see this dude. Like, if this guy goes in the first, like, are you going to take Bo Nix in the back of the first round of your rookie draft? Like, do you want to take Bo Nix in the first round?
I mean, he'd be. I probably not in the first, but he'll be high second. Yeah, I'll still do it there.
I'd take give me Penix no matter where he goes.
I mean, more than likely. I mean, if he's drafted anywhere near in the same range, but then once you get to those guys, there's not actually that many spots that are just step into an opportunity right now in the NFL.
That's fair.
And so I'm probably just going to say which one steps on the field first, because that's the guy that's going to have the greatest potential return for me to flip whenever he gets on the field. Now it's largest potential negative whenever he gets on the field and potentially throws five picks as well, but I'll take the upside swing on it and bet on that.
That's fair. No, I totally get it. It's just, there's something about Bo Nix that just rubs. Maybe it's because he looks too much like Zach Wilson.
JJ McCarthy looks more like,
JJ. Yeah. That's my JJ bias, but yeah, something about Bo Nix, man. I just can't buy in. Can't do it.
Any other quarterbacks you want to touch on, or you want to throw us into running backs here?
Let's just throw us right into the running backs here. We can just start with the running back position. We'll go wide receivers last, I guess, technically last. We'll talk about tight ends later, but we're going to go with running backs here. All right, let's just start with bum of the class, a guy that you're just down on in comparison to consensus.
Oh, we're starting it off spicy here. Okay, so
started out hot.
Most people's RB1 is my current RB5, Trey Benson, Florida State running back. I don't know what it is, but ever since I first watched him, I can't shake the feeling that I'm watching a slightly better version of Zach Evans. The running style is a lot the same to me, and I know, I'm fully aware that if everything upside hits, like, he is the prototypical, like, bell cow size of back. But you know what I don't believe exists anymore in the NFL? A bell cow role for hardly anybody. And he could be the first running back off the board, and he would have to change for me. You know, he's probably going to go higher than RB5 if that does happen. But for right now, I just see too much of a Zach Evans-style runner that is more built on angles, lacks a little bit of vision, isn't horizontally explosive whenever he's having to make a cut. It's just relying on speed and agility at the collegiate level to make you miss while running kind of a little bit away from you. And I don't know if that's going to translate. And obviously, Zach Evans, I don't even know if it translated. I mean, they basically just saw it on the practice field, said Kellen Mond, and you're not getting on the field. We see it every day at practice to him. And I think Trey Benson, I'm not comparing the two. He's a much better prospect. He's better at everything across the board than Zach Evans was last year. But I can't shake that. I can't shake it whenever I'm looking at him, that he runs with kind of the same style, just at a better version of it. But it's not the running style that I really like whenever I'm prospect scouting. And so, at least at the running back position. So Trey Benson's my guy. He's going to be the one that I'm going to fade much more than a lot of other people who potentially have him as RB1 locked and loaded. He is my RB5.
That's fair. I mean, and we've talked about this before. You've heard this probably everywhere, especially on Destination Devi, but like, the landing spots matter for a lot of these guys. Your draft capital, of course, to some extent as well. You know, but of course, Trey Benson goes to Dallas. You're probably going to be pretty excited about that.
Probably going to be RB1. You know, like,
right. So, like, he's going to move up the board a little bit. But so, like, before we get in here and say, like, oh, we're out on these guys, no matter what, that is not necessarily the case. So I just want to make sure we're clear on that as we continue to go here. I say that because I'm about to say a name that people had as a riser. In fact, it caught me for a quick moment here that I was super excited based on what he did at the combine. I was like, man, maybe I need to go back and, you know, if he really is this fast and has this, you know, quick twitch, like he could be, you know, a stud in the NFL. We're just kind of dismissing him. And I, you know, at first both of us dismissed him in our rankings. And now I think you probably have him close to the top five. I dropped him back down a little bit, but Marshawn Lloyd is a name that like, I just haven't been able to buy in fully. And I know he ran the 4.46. I get that. He had, you know, all the measurables were there, but he just looks like a guy. He just looks like a running back. He's just going to fill a role on a team. Doesn't do anything too special. Yes, he can have those splash plays. I love his quick twitch feet. Like, you know, he's very sudden when he runs, but in the end, I didn't see the vision out of him that I like to see in running backs. And then also when it comes to like pass protection, I know people say like, oh, pass protection doesn't matter. And it doesn't necessarily matter, especially with the way that the running back position has changed. But like, it does to an extent if you want to be on the field. I want running backs that are on the field. That's how I've always looked at running back, is can you be on the field a majority of the time? And I don't see that for him. He's going to be a 40%, or he's going to have to be super efficient, and he's going to have to stay healthy. And so for me, Marshawn Lloyd is probably one I'm just going to miss on a lot unless he gets one of those spectacular landing spots.
He's on my list later, so I'll talk about him a little bit more whenever we get to one of the other categories here. But let's go into the best of the rest is what we're calling it. So kind of within your top 6 to 8 players, who is that guy that you think you're a little bit maybe higher on, one of your guys out of this core group? And again, I'm not going to spend too much time on it, because if you've been listening to this show at all and the fantasy draft room as well, you know that I'm a Bucky Irving stan. I got to put it on my guy here. I did drop him down. I'm not still at RB3 that I was saying on the combine stream. We've dropped him down to RB6 right behind Trey Benson, and I think that's fair. He is now down to RB6 on my board because of a little bit of expected draft capital that goes into that. But everything with the running style that I don't exactly like about Trey Benson, I absolutely love about Bucky Irving. And so whenever you're looking at that smaller running back in the frame, but he's absolutely explosive, agile. He can do those horizontal movements and everything. He can make a man miss in the hole. He's got a fantastic receiving profile as well. Can play split out wide. Everything that I really don't like about Trey Benson is what I actually look for a lot in the Bucky Irving comp, but I understand that for the elite upside of a running back in the NFL, he's not going to be a guy who's taking 80% of the workload. I just don't believe that most guys are going to be able to take Derrick Henry 80% of the workload anymore. And so I'd rather have the guy that I think is going to work very efficiently and in a very defined role within the NFL, and that's Bucky Irving for me.
So this one was interesting because there's two names that came to mind, because there's one guy that I still love. Love's a strong word for this kind of player. When you're talking about the back half of this, it's like, again, landing spot for me is going to be key. I wanted to say Audric Estime because I still am in. I don't know what it is. I'm still going to be in on Audric Estime, even though like there's certain things about his game as well that just looks sluggish in a way, is like the best way I can describe it. Doesn't really have that like high end home run ability, but the one I'm actually going to go with, and this one has changed a lot for people. So I've seen him as high as number two for some people, but I've seen him also outside of their top 10. So I am going to go with a guy that you talk about roles. I think Will Shipley is going to have a defined role here in the NFL. He has the pass catching prowess. He comes from a good Clemson team, or at least a scheme wise, the team itself hadn't been that great. So his production isn't exactly what you'd want to see, but he's athletic. The way he sets up blocks or sets up like tacklers to kind of miss, I really love like his ability to use his vision, kind of like just as his IQ of how the play is flowing, and uses that to his advantage when he finds running lanes. And the fact that he's an incredible pass catcher as well. He's going to be one of the best pass catching backs out of this class. Very excited for what Will Shipley could serve in an offense as far as a, you know, 6 to 10 guy that you're probably going to get later. And he's probably going to go to a situation where he has a running back one in front of him, a quote unquote one. And that's why people are going to pass on Will Shipley, but he's going to have a defined role. The running back game is changing in the NFL, and I think this guy is going to find a way on the field. And when you are in PPR formats, give me a pass catcher, just like you kind of talked about with Bucky. I'm going to take that same exact kind of mindset with Will Shipley.
And I do think he's also good enough. Like Bucky, I do believe is also good enough. Like if the one were to go down, he's good enough to carry the ball up the middle as well. Like he is just better at one thing, but he's also pretty serviceable at the other thing as well, if he were to step into that role. So I'm a fan of Will Shipley as well. I don't have him anywhere else on my list. So just wanted to get that in there. Let's move over now and let's go to the discount aisle, who is a discount version of another player. And for me, I've got my discount version of one of the top three or four running backs that I have currently in my list. Braylon Allen is my guy, and I'm going to discount Braylon Allen. It's going to be Kendall Milton. Both of them cannot catch the ball worth a damn, and they are both absolute bruisers at about 6'2", 220, who can just run up the middle, and they are shiftier than they look for the size that they are. And I think they are both very good between the tackles runners that have a little bit more wiggle than people are going to give them credit for. They're just going to say, I mean, you're going to get the Derrick Henry comps on Braylon Allen. I think everybody's kind of dispelled that one. We don't think that he is Derrick Henry anymore from the old Devy days of what everybody thought. But at the price about where you're going to go, have to get these guys, Braylon Allen's probably going in the top five running backs, at least without landing spots currently. And Kendall Milton's pretty outside of most people's top 10, at least that I've seen. And so Kendall Milton is my discount version of Braylon Allen.
So we're going to go with the same discount player. Like I, as soon as you said discounting Braylon Allen, I was like, you son of a gun. Like, you're going to steal my guy. He's not as big as Braylon Allen, so he's definitely going to be a discount, but it's Ray Davis. And so just another physical type of runner, between the tackles kind of guy, just same kind of concept, just a little bit smaller, probably 20 to 30 pounds smaller, but he does run a lot bigger than that. And so like, I just like his physical ability. Definitely a discount, though, in my opinion, as far as a comparison. But hey, if you're looking for the Braylon Allen type, that is going to be my discount guy that you're probably gonna be able to grab in the third or even fourth, depending on where he ends up going.
Yeah, and I think the only reason that I probably don't jump to Ray Davis first on that one is because he's my RB7 and he's right behind Bucky Irving. So I have super high on Ray Davis comparatively to most people. So I really do like Ray Davis as well.
We'll probably get into that, won't we?
No, I actually don't have him. I couldn't find anywhere else to put him on this list. So glad we could bring up some Ray Davis, because even though he is old, I don't really care anymore. It's running backs. They're year to year anyway. I don't need a running back for the next 7 years of my roster. I barely want him for 2 weeks. Don't care what age you are coming in anymore.
Well, then let's get into the most frustrating prospect that you scouted. And now, how did you define this, and kind of what were you looking for when you're talking about the most frustrating prospect?
I think there's two ways you can go whenever you get to most frustrating. You can either say the most frustrating because I have no idea what to do with them. And mostly, and sometimes that is because of the play that they're putting on the field. And for me, the way that I went on this one, it's I see so much more and I want so much more out of you, but I just can't put you any higher because I do think there's drawbacks. And you talked about him earlier. I said we were going to bring him back up again, and it's Marshawn Lloyd for me. I see so much here. Like he's got so much long speed, but there's a lot of hesitancy to run in between the tackles. He bounces almost everything outside, and this USC offense is just weird from the start, and their offensive line is terrible. So I kind of get it to a point, but there's just like, I see these flashes of just absolute brilliance out of Marshawn Lloyd. And then I just see hesitant, going down early, bouncing everything outside and just getting like 1 yard outside to the full, like all the way to the edge, instead of just running and getting your 3 to 4 yards up the middle. He reminds me a lot of DeAndre Swift, just not really as refined and good coming out of college. He reminds me more of like what we've seen NFL now and what we've come to expect from like DeAndre Swift in the NFL now, where it's like we see this elite upside of DeAndre Swift, but we can never really fully get there for some reason to like break into that like RB1 range consistently. And that's where I don't think he's as good as DeAndre Swift was, definitely not as a prospect, but Marshawn Lloyd kind of reminds me of that. So he was my most frustrating running back to see, because I think there's so much more there. And I can understand, because there is that there, why some people have him well inside the top five running backs of their class.
So I'm glad we got to touch on that, because Marshawn Lloyd was just one of those guys. Again, I think he could end up in a good situation. Different scenario could work out really, really well for him. But you talk talk about him not trusting his eyes. There's another guy here that I feel like doesn't trust his like what he sees in front of him. And this is a guy that people absolutely love. And maybe this should have been kind of a, I'm not down on him, but there's like some massive like inconsistencies in Jalen Wright. And I know you're going to hate me for saying this. You're going to hate me for saying this, aren't you?
Yes, I do. RB2 still. He's fantastic.
I mean, the home run ability is absolutely there. The burst, the acceleration. Yeah, like there's his one cut ability. I absolutely love it. There's just something about like he's stopping. I've noticed a few times he stops his feet behind the line of scrimmage and like it just it basically kills the play completely. And then he runs upright a lot. And I know that's not a huge thing. And I know I shouldn't let that really like bother me. But like there's something about him, it just doesn't feel like it's a natural running back playing running back. Not that he can't be very, very good, but like everyone wants to put him as like the RB2, RB3 in the class. And I just don't know that I can put him there. Like he's definitely up there. He's definitely like top five, top six for me, but I have legitimate concerns about what Jalen Wright can be if he's not in the right spot for his skill set.
I understand where that concern is because I'll read you the all that I need to say about it is one, like, what do we got? Four words here that I put in my notes and one of the lines that I just typically type into Excel lines whenever I'm watching everybody. It's wild but glorious, and that is my Jalen Wright. It doesn't look right. Like it doesn't look like he's running correctly, but it's glorious whatever he does. I absolutely love watching him run.
Yep, and that's a great way to put it. That's actually, yeah, we just leave it at that. Because yeah, that's exactly what it reminds me of. Just wild but glorious. And
to put him at RB2, kind of has to be, right?
He kind of has to be. Has to have that absolute home run upside. So I again, not down on him where I'm just out, but a little bit of a concern for someone who is a top three for a lot of people.
I can fully understand it, but let's get into, you know, it's a late night here. We probably need to be in a little bit of a REM sleep cycle, and we need to, let's get into a deep sleeper that you have in this class. Let's get into my deep sleeper first. I'm going to go with a guy who's a little bit of a hometown grown kid for me, coming out of Lutheran South, a high school that's about 30 minutes away from where I originally grew up, went to Truman State College originally back in 2018 whenever he started, which is a small, I mean, players that I played with in D3 high school ended up going to Truman State. Like that's kind of like our pipeline. If you actually want to go play D2 football, you can go to Truman State and play football. But while he was there, my guy, Cody Schrader, led all of D2 football with 2,074 yards and 25 touchdowns within a single season. Then he goes and he walks on at Mizzou after finally getting up to the FBS level, getting up to D1, walks on at Mizzou when he could have definitely gone somewhere else other than an SEC school. Didn't play all that much going into his first year, but he did get, I mean, I say that he got 170 touches whenever he walked on in his first year at Mizzou. Then he goes in and in 2023, this last year, leads all of SEC in rushing in 2023 with 1,627 yards in the SEC with 14 touchdowns. And he also has a receiving profile to put 22 catches and 19 in 2022 alongside of it. He's solid as a pass catcher. He's not going to have this elite burst or anything. He's not an overly incredible athlete. Damn, does he run hard. Like he's just an absolute grinder of a player. Absolutely love this kid. Obviously, I have a little bit of hometown grown bias on this one. But what he reminds me of is Kyren Williams. Obviously, not the Kyren Williams that we're seeing now, but Kyren Williams coming out of Notre Dame, where like you don't see this overly athletic guy on the field. And obviously, we saw the combine from Kyren Williams. He was definitely not that. But what he is just an absolute bruiser of a runner. He's good at just about everything, is serviceable enough at pass catching, very good pass blocker. And that's what I see with Cody Schrader. Obviously, way down the ranks here for most people, but I really love the guy out of Mizzou.
Well, the guy that I love, you already talked about a little bit. And deep sleeper wise, don't necessarily have the upside as far as pass catching, as you mentioned. You know, doesn't have these bricks for hands. But Mr. Kendall Milton, you know, just big physical running back, just a guy you can absolutely see being a B-Rob, like just grind down the first and second downs of the game and just let way to a Cody Schrader or a Will Shipley or somebody on third down and just let him be in there and just take the pounding between the tackles. And I love volume when it comes to running backs. So it's like, if I can get a guy that gets opportunity, I'm going to take advantage of it. And I think Kendall Milton is a guy that could get opportunity and be on the field. Plain and simple.
Yep. Guy that we both like to just be every two downs, just be that Gus Edwards for like 8 years, Kendall Milton.
Exactly.
Real quick before we move into wide receivers, yeah. any spots, any destination weddings, as we're calling them, that you want to get into, that you like a certain player going to a certain position, or you like a certain opening within the NFL?
I mean, obviously everyone's going to talk about Dallas because they obviously need a running back, and it sounds like there's a high probability that they're going to take one. So that's one that obviously comes to mind. Another one that I'm going to be looking out for is, do the Carolina Panthers take a running back? I know they have Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, but this is a new regime. They could bring in their own running back. So interested in that. And then same thing with the New York Giants. I think those are like the ones I'm kind of monitoring to see what kind of caliber of player do they bring in, and would they be able to compete day one and take some snaps?
I went with a specific player to a specific team on this one. I went Audric Estime, Tampa Bay, to be a Leonard Fournette replacement from 2 years ago.
Fire me up. Some Audric Estime. I was going to say Tampa as well, but just because of...
I mean, Rashad White's there, but he could legitimately just go right back to the role that he was in as a rookie, be that pass-catching weapon that we've seen him really succeed in the role of. Obviously, it would hinder him for fantasy because he's not also getting 200 carries on the ground. But yeah. I think it's a really good NFL fit to put Audric Estime there and just be the hammer. And then Rashad White can be a little bit more of the skill speed guy.
Yep, agreed. And then obviously the Chargers are still one that's out there. I know my guy J.K. Dobbins is on the map, but I think they're taking someone. Like, unless
gotta have your third hammer guy and get Blake Corum over there because he's a Michigan Wolverine. Get Roman Wilson too. Get all of them.
Michigan West. That's what it'll be. Or San Francisco.
It doesn't even make sense anymore for them to put, like, it does not make sense for them to put Blake Corum on that team anymore.
No.
Anyway, I'm tired of seeing Michigan play. I'm thankful that we are here now and I don't have to see any more mock drafts to see any more Michigan players put on the Chargers.
Of course. You know, he's just going to pipeline his own. JJ McCarthy. He's in LA.
That Justin Herbert trade picking up steam from old CTESPN.
CT. Oh my gosh.
He was actually leaking it. He was saying that it's going to happen. So we'll see. We'll see if Justin Herbert gets traded on draft day to the Vikings.
Yeah, there's a trade on draft day I am looking forward to, but we'll talk about that later. So let's get to wide receiver bum of the class. So who are you down on? That's probably in a lot of people's top five. I mean, wide receiver's a little deeper, so you can go six or seven if you need to, but who are you down on in that top group?
I went off the charts a little bit for this one, but okay. I've seen people have him easily inside the top 10, sometimes top eight, something like that. One guy that I'm just going to be okay missing out on, and I understand that there's the upside of it, came in at wide receiver 21 for me, Malachi Corley. He's not the next Deebo Samuel. He's not a defined route runner. He's an extreme gadget guy. There is the chance for the development, but I don't see him as a wide receiver. He can run anything within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage perfectly fine, and he's an absolute bowling ball. He's a unit. I fully get it. But I don't see him becoming a full-time wide receiver. So Malachi Corley, he's going to be probably outside of my top 20. Now we see the draft capital come in, and he probably won't be outside the top 20. But for now, I'm just going to be okay missing on him. Even if he does get the draft capital, I probably won't be taking him anywhere.
So you definitely went off the beaten path. I'm gonna get probably roasted for this one, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. But mine is A.D. Mitchell. Mine is A.D. Mitchell. There's the consistency. I mean, obviously admitting to his own effort, and that can be changed. Effort can be changed. That concerns me. There's just a lot of inconsistencies when you watch him play. He does have the physical abilities. He does have all of these like tools and traits and blah, 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 blah. Quick, you know, the way that he's able to shift inside his routes. Like I do like a lot of those things. I want to see it consistently. And that's a guy that like just Kadarius Toney me, like just Kadarius Toney me, not off field, just on field. Like a guy that just does what he wants to do when he wants to, thinks that he's better than, I don't know. I don't want to get into any of that, but it's just, there's something about A.D. Mitchell that I'm going to be missed out on a lot. I think you're going to have to take him at the back of the first in most rookie drafts, and I'm going to be out on A.D. Mitchell.
I'm definitely not out, but we'll get to talk about him later and reasons why I'm not specifically out. So I'll save my thoughts on it, but I'm not out. He's currently my wide receiver 7. So we'll just tease it with that.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So then best of the rest, let's get into someone that's not in the top group. Not in the top group, but that someone that's really interesting to you that think could be in this top group. I don't want to call it the Puka Nacua Award, but who is somebody that you're higher on than most?
So maybe I flipped these a little bit too much, because he's definitely a top 10 wide receiver for most people, but I think he's typically going in like that 6 to 10 range for most people, probably somewhere around the wide receiver 8 for most people. I got to go with my guy out of Georgia. It is Ladd McConkey, wide receiver 5 for me, right behind Brian Thomas Jr. He is an absolute route running machine. Everybody trying to say that he is a slot, that's like saying Cooper DeJean is a safety, and I'm not going to stand for it. He is a outside legitimate wide receiver, just like Cooper DeJean is a goddamn cornerback. Okay. So we just need to establish that one right now. He is a fantastic wide receiver. Now, there's the health concerns, but every time he is on the field, he is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely lighting it up at the Senior Bowl, doing everything. I mean, running under a 4.4, 4.39, 6 foot, 190, 186 pounds, whatever he is. I mean, this is an absolute route technician. Reminds me a lot of like a Deontay Johnson type within the NFL now currently. Absolute savant at the position. I absolutely love the way that he presses each and every defender. I do love him a little bit more cutting to like inside than outside, but I mean, he sets up defenders in a way that I don't think hardly anybody else does in this class outside of the top three. Ladd McConkey's my guy that I'm going to be pretty high on almost regardless of where he goes.
I struggled with this one because there's like a couple guys that I wanted to talk about, and I'll get into one of the other guys later just because this guy isn't necessarily in everyone's top groups. But there's been a lot of wavering on Troy Franklin, and I know I'm going to be higher on Troy Franklin than most. I just know that I am. Some people have him still as a top 4, top 5 wide receiver. I've seen him all the way down at 8 or 9, a lot of variance here. The physicality aspect is what concerns people. I definitely understand that. Does have some dropsies from time to time, but again, I don't care about drops at all. When it comes to players, I just love Troy Franklin, man. I know he's just going to be a wide receiver too at the next level. I don't see him, like, I could see Ladd McConkey actually being a number one. And that's why I love the one that you picked out. I think Ladd McConkey could actually be the number one on a team at some time in his career. I don't know that that's actually in Troy Franklin's like repertoire. I think he's going to be a Jordan Addison, you know, type of player when it comes right down to it, where he's going to be a very good number two on a team. But I love Troy Franklin. He's probably going to be my wide receiver 4 or 5, depending on that landing spot. Just give me all the Troy Franklin, baby.
I'm glad I did it right before, because if you remember right before we went live, I said I switched 2 players, and I just switched Ladd McConkey and Troy Franklin. Otherwise, I would have been talking about Troy Franklin on this exact
one. Oh, I would have talked about Ladd McConkey if you didn't. I had a backup as Ladd McConkey, so I was ready to go. But yeah, man, like I just love what he does. He doesn't have necessarily he has some yak ability. Like, you see it from time to time. Not as consistent as I'd like to see from players, but to me, yak isn't something that translates all the time either. Tell me why you love yourself some Troy Franklin.
He reminds me of a mixture of Devonta Smith and Jameson Williams. Now, he's not going to be an overall route-defined technician. I think Devonta Smith is obviously a lot better than him. And the pro day is going to be the combine is what a lot of people are going to be talking about. You're not running fast enough for the size that you are. You're not running any of the drills. I mean, the gauntlet drill was all of the rage this year, and that was the thing he failed at the most. It was not pretty. I fully understand that. Don't know why he just looked like he didn't train at all for it. I don't know. There was also the thing that he had like stomach poisoning or the flu or something before that, possibly as well. He looked better at his pro day. But man, the speed is absolutely there. You cannot deny what the speed is, at least in the game. Obviously, the 40 time is a little bit different, but we all know that is a track event. That is not an on the field gameplay type of thing. So I don't know if he's a fully defined route runner, but if you can put him anywhere that is on more of like an angle route where it is slants, goes, fades, anything like that, and even on the curls, I know there's a little bit of draw problem that you talked about, but I absolutely love what he could potentially be. And even though I was out on Jameson Williams, I am actually in on Troy Franklin, even though I think they comp pretty similarly. It just kind of depends what his role is. And is he pigeonholed into just being a, hey, go fly down the field and be a vertical threat? I think he can be more than that if he can work underneath as well. But it's going to probably depend on where he goes to see what that role really looks like that he's stepping into.
Yeah, another note that I had here is like he does have a really good feel for finding open space in the zone coverage. Like he just kind of, it's just a feel you have as a wide receiver, knowing where you're supposed to be, knowing where the nearest defender is going to be in a zone as you run by a defender, or, you know, on your route. He found a way to get open consistently against zone coverage, and I really, really enjoyed watching that. So yeah, that's going to be my, I guess, best of the rest. So give me a discount aisle player. I don't know that I have a discount aisle. We'll see if I can pull one out here for you, but who's your discount wide receiver?
It's okay if we can't get there, but I have a discount version of Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas, who I believe really excels at running. I mean, there's nobody better in this class that runs a fade route better than Brian Thomas. I think probably 70% of his touchdowns is Jaden Daniels throwing up a back end zone fade to Brian Thomas. He goes up, high points the ball, catches it. I mean, there's reasons why he does not have a very good yards per route run and everything like that is because he runs fade routes. And that is the one thing that he fully excels at. He can obviously do more. We've been having wide receiver 4 for most people if that wasn't the case. But the guy that really excels at that I was just catching up on and watching again through tonight, Javon Baker out of UCF, definitely excels in the same exact way. He's literally every single one that I forget the quarterback's name right now, but every single one that guy puts up and just lobs up to him, it is a just perfect in stride basket catch, never drops it. He can contort his body over the defender as well. Anything that he runs in that type of straight line vertical range, I think Javon Baker is just absolutely fantastic at that, and he can excel at other levels of the field as well. He's just not really as good. I see him a lot the same that I do Brian Thomas, but obviously Javon Baker is going much later. He had a ridiculous 20, almost 22 yards per catch this season at UCF. Jeez. I mean, if you could put him with vintage Russell Wilson on that like moonball deep shot, it would be fantastic. Like it would be unstoppable. Obviously, vintage Russ doesn't exist anymore, and we have the current. We're talking about discount versions. He's a discount version of himself at this point. But I love Javon. I love Javon Baker for what he could be, and I think he's more than just a vertical threat. But he really excelled at that, and I think he comped a lot for me to Brian Thomas.
I'm good with that one. I do like that. I'm not going to go into my discount one because I'm going to talk about him in just a little bit here. So let's get into most frustrating wide receiver that you had to scout, and why were you frustrated with this one?
So for the reason that you talked about earlier, Adonai Mitchell is going to be one of the ones that I'm going to talk about here. I have a little two-piece because I'm going to talk about Adonai Mitchell again here in just a little bit with another one. Adonai Mitchell, probably my most frustrating player, but we've already talked about him a little bit. Obviously, what you just said, like what we've already talked about, it's the consistency of running every single route that you're frustrated with. He's got bottom of the class metrics in almost every single category. It's not great, and it's because, one, he's playing with Quinn Ewers, and that offense is a little bit interesting, and he's also got Jatavion Sanders, Xavier Worthy, and Jonathan Brooks as well all the way through it, and then he's got Quinn Ewers throwing them the ball at times as well, and you just see he doesn't care to run those routes for Quinn Ewers, it feels like. And whatever issues are there, that happens. But I'll get to throw you a quick another one, Johnny Wilson. Because I've been saying throughout this process that he is much closer to Keon Coleman than Keon Coleman is to a top 10 wide receiver. It didn't finish out exactly in rankings that way. Keon Coleman is still outside my top 10. But Johnny Wilson did fall down a little bit. It's just because, like, you were 6'6", dude. Use your freaking body to catch the ball. And use your hands, like use your length to your advantage. And he just does not do it. Like everything is there. He's actually a much better route runner than he is like just a basketball jump pass catcher. It doesn't make sense. Like you should be so much better than you are. You can actually run routes at 6'6 and like 235. It should not happen the way he does. And he could be so good if he was able to put it all together. But he drops the ball all the time and he doesn't use physicality to win. it's just frustrating as hell. So if he puts it all together, I absolutely still really do like Johnny Wilson to be a legitimate wide receiver, but he's got to put some stuff together. Really frustrating watch.
So the frustrating one for me, when you said Wilson, I was like, oh no. But I'm going to talk about Roman Wilson, because I do love Roman Wilson. There are times you watch that team, he looks like the best player on the field. Looks so smooth when he's running certain routes. He's not totally a refined route runner. And when you look at his actual profile and you look at his stats and things like that, like that's what kind of kills me with him, is when your best season is 48 catches, 789 yards, and 12 touchdowns, which is awesome. It's a little bit of a kind of a pause where I'm like, huh, like that's the best year. Like, do you get anything else you can show me? And it's like 400 yards, 370 yards. And I'm like, all right, I get the offense that he's in. I'm all for it. I know the Harbaugh offense, and it's going to be a run first, but he's explosive. I do love watching him play. Like his acceleration is there. Talk about someone that is a hands catcher and that does have great hands. Roman Wilson has incredible hands, so I really do love what he can do. It's just that route inconsistency, which is just going to be a developmental thing. I think it's just going to be something that he needs more time to really grow in that. And then it's that offense, man. It's just tough to say, like, I like the wide receiver from Michigan. Like,
I think it's absolutely crazy. Like, the weirdest thing for me with Roman Wilson is that his yak is so low. You want to know why his yak is so low? Because of what you said. A quarter of his catches were touchdowns, and most of those were catches in the end zone. So he's not getting any yak because he has nowhere else to run. It's absolutely crazy that, like, because it's such a, it's a small amount of receptions and so many touchdowns, that the yak gets completely, the entire profile just absolutely screws with me. But I do have one more question on Roman Wilson before we get to this last two, whatever we've got here.
Yeah.
Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, and Jalen Polk. Do you have any separation between those guys? Because I feel like they're all exactly the same player to me, and I can't figure out how to order them or separate them or do anything with them.
Yeah, you said a name there that like was going to be on my category we're going to get into, but I Jalen Polk. Yeah, like all, I think that any of them could be a very good if they get opportunity. Like, they could be good, you know, wide receiver twos on their team if they get the opportunity. Great classification, but like, that's what happens when you get into this kind of range of wide receiver. They're all good players, but are they going to get that chance? And so, yeah, you tell me Ricky Pearsall is going to be on the field, you know, in the Atlanta offense. Perfect. Like, fire me up. Like, you tell me he's going to have a clear number two opportunity. Yeah. That's how I'm going to define some of these kind of hair, splitting of the hairs for these wide receivers.
Which one of them goes to Cincinnati to be Tyler Boyd, and which one of them goes to Green Bay to just be another piece in that cog?
Oh, man. And you know, people are going to tell themselves a story. Oh, he's in Green Bay. You know, Romeo Doubs.
The Romeo Doubs replacement. Yeah.
It's like, but yeah, I like that one here. And then, all right, let's wrap up here. Deep sleeper. Who's a deep sleeper at the wide receiver position for you? And we might have the same one.
We got the same one. It's Jacob Cowing.
All right. Knew it. Yeah.
Jacob Cowing. You go on your Jacob Cowing load, because that's your hometown guy.
No, I mean, go right ahead. You go first here, because you just finished watching some film on Cowing, but I want to see what you saw.
One, holy hell, he's undersized. I do always love in film whenever you can immediately tell what player it is you're looking for in wide receiver alignment. Sometimes it's because it's the only guy who wears double high socks, mm-hmm. or the only guy who wears one high right sock. Whenever you look at the film and you see Arizona playing, you're like, oh yeah, that's Jacob Cowing right there, because he is a tiny little dwarf man who's playing on the field with all these large men who are much bigger than him. And I'm like, okay, but he's like, I started watching and I'm like, okay, he's pretty good though. And he's damn quick. He's damn fast. And like, honestly, the 4.38 time, like, he looks like he's even playing faster than a 4.38 out there compared to everybody else. And I could not shake it. As soon as I'm starting to watch him, he reminds me of Tank Dell, man. And I'm not trying to say that we're trying to hit the next Tank Dell. We're not trying to hit the next Puka Nacua, but he looks like he plays the same exact way as Tank Dell played. And the same exact way that he would excel within the NFL is the same exact way that Tank Dell excels right now in the Houston Texans. Be a inside slot guy who can run crossers and can run vertical gap splitter from the slot. That is exactly what Jacob Cowing is. Obviously he's got the size that he's going to have to overcome. And if you're trying to put him up on a contested catch, he's not going to get it. Like Tank Dell was probably much better than that. He's also got another 2 inches on cowing, so he's probably a little bit better off there. But I see it working the exact same way if it all does come to fruition. I couldn't shake it whenever I saw it, and he's going to be one of my guys because of it. If he goes to any position where he could be used in kind of the same role, absolutely loved what I saw from Jacob Cowing. Undersized, and he's going to be an outlier if it hits, but so is Tank Dell.
That's exactly it. We're talking late round guys. Like he's going to be like a round 4, round 5 type of pick in the NFL draft. And then so in turn, he's probably going to be, you know, round 3, round 4 for your rookie drafts, depending on which spot he actually goes to. But if he can go to a spot where he does take that clear defined slot role, I mean, just go to Arizona and just take over Greg Dortch's spot. Like just be the slot there. Yeah, like there's just something about him that just brings me in. It's not Rondale Moore-esque, where it's like a lot of behind the line stuff. Like he can actually run routes. He actually goes downfield. He's actually a lot stronger when he does have the ball. Like I love the little dude. Like this is a little guy I can get behind, and you're telling me all 5'8" of him is going to be out there. Yes, I know catch radius is a big, you know, I won't say big concern, but it's what bugs people about him. But hey, look, if you find a way to get open in the NFL, you're going to get the ball. And I think that he can find a way to get open in the NFL if he can play that slot role. Yeah,
we
love that.
We see it the exact same way. Like he's got to get into that role, that vertical slasher slot. And if he gets into that role, I think he's good enough at the route running to where he can still win at the NFL level. And NFL level, you can't hit him anywhere. And if your strike zone is normally about only a foot high, now it's on Jacob Cowing, and you only have about 6 inches to really hit in the middle of his torso. Otherwise, you know, you're either hitting him in the head or you're hitting him low, and both things are, I guess, now penalties. So it's going to be hard to tackle that dude.
Yeah, it absolutely will. And so we'll wrap up here. I know we're 55 minutes in here. Let's get into some destinations here. Landing spots that we love or hate. You know, give me one that you love or hate for those. If you want me to stall, I have a name I want to throw out real quick.
I've got the love one. All right. We've talked about him already. I want Adonai Mitchell on the Detroit Lions. Get him with Dan Campbell. That's going to get the absolute best out of him. Okay. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown to really run the underneath, and you just lost Josh Reynolds, that he kind of steps right into that role. Jameson Williams is nothing but a gadget guy anymore. Get him off the field. This is Amon-Ra, Adonai Mitchell's team. Get his head straight. Get him to make sure that he is competing on each and every play. If he goes to the Lions, he's damn sure going to do that. Either that or he's going to fizzle out pretty quickly, and you know that you're going to just put him off to the side like a Kadarius Toney pretty quickly, because Dan Campbell ain't going to stand for that. MCDC ain't standing for any of the funny business here. Let's get Adonai Mitchell on a team where he's actually going to be he's going to have everything in place that I think he could succeed within that offense. And he would be a perfect fit schematically if he does hit his upside as well.
That one would still scare me just because of what that offense is. But I get the sentiment around it of like maximizing who AD is. So I do like that one. I'm going to give you one real quick here, and maybe one more. Keon Coleman, we are both out on. There is one situation, and only one situation, I think, where I will be taking myself some Keon Coleman and be heavily invested in it. And that is if he goes to the Atlanta Falcons to be the, you know, you want to talk about same kind of mindset. I know this was talked about all offseason. Ray did some film sessions on the LA Rams. But you talk about Zach Robinson going down to Atlanta. A big thing that the Rams look at is that gauntlet drill. Obviously, Puka was number one in the gauntlet drill as far as what happened last year. Look how that turned out. Keon Coleman was number one this year. Look how that could turn out. They obviously need a guy that could do something like that as well. You know, it just there's something about it that just screams draft Keon Coleman if he goes to Atlanta. But that's about the only spot. That's about the only spot I can confidently say I'll take Keon Coleman. Maybe if he goes to be Minnesota and be the big slot there, maybe. But that's about it.
I can get behind New Orleans. I think that's my other one. But another NFC South team. Yeah. There, you're pulling the offense from the 49ers system, correct? I believe so. And yeah. So if you run that, you run a Michael Thomas replacement in there, you can run it again, because this is why I agree with you that it's Atlanta is probably my best spot. He needs to run in a big slot role. If you've listened to the Matt Harmon episode on him, I fully encourage everybody to go do that. And while the numbers don't look great, the charts don't look great for Keon Coleman in the reception perception profile, Matt Harmon does say, like, if the only way that this type of profile has worked is if you move them into that big slot role. And I think either in the Saints system, if it does it right, or in the Atlanta Falcons system, I think both of those would really work to put him into that role, because you already have a Chris Olave, you already have a Drake London and a Kyle Pitts and other weapons within the Saints system as well. I think both of those would work pretty well for Keon Coleman.
So then let's get into developmental guy. I know this is old school dynasty, because nowadays we just want the here and the now and the guy that's producing for you as a rookie. And that's just the nature of the era we're in. But give me a guy that you think could take some time to develop at the wide receiver position and potentially grow into his best self year two, year three of his career.
Another guy, just because it is another one that's frustrating, and I think everything kind of needs to be developed and come all the way together, because you see bits and flashes. I see bits and flashes across every level of being a wide receiver as well, and it's Brandon Rice for me out of USC.
Gosh, dang.
I see everything there at certain times, but it just never, like, there's this weird lack of consistency, it feels like, where there's times that he's a fantastic wide receiver, and then there's times where you just see him, it looks like he's running in quicksand almost out there, and he's not catching through the ball. Everything never is consistent with him, but I can see everything there if it comes to fruition. But it looks like he just needs a little bit of, like, a true NFL scheme, because whatever is in that USC offense, it works, but it's weird. And so I think he just needs to go into the NFL, develop a little bit more, but I could see him still being a really good wide receiver if it all comes to fruition.
I like that one. Yeah. Brendan Rice was one that was on this list here. And so I was going to wanted to touch on him, just because I do think that he has the talent and the skill to develop. He has the pedigree, as you know, as we call it. He's got the bloodline. So yeah, I think that's a good one to pick out. My developmental guy, the guy that I'm going to be buying all season, is any wide receiver that gets drafted to the Bears. That's who I'm going to trade as a developmental guy. I'm going to trade for him midseason. I'm going to wait for the numbers to suck. I know everyone talks about Odunze potentially going to Chicago. I think that would be about the only situation you would be able to get a buy low on. But you give me any other wide receiver that goes to Chicago, I will be looking to buy them and look at that as a project player of, hey, he's not doing anything for you year one, or not giving you a whole lot year one. What do you got year two and three? And maybe you can you know, get that going. It's kind of a cop-out answer, you know, going into the landing spots. But if I had to choose one, you actually mentioned Javon Baker earlier. I like Javon Baker a lot. I think he can be a day one player, but I don't think he's going to truly reach his best self until, because he does need some, you know, route development. You know, what they do at UCF isn't exactly like translating to the NFL right away. I think he could be a guy that develops in year two or year three of his career.
Yep. Do really like the Javon Baker. And also, you know, if we're going to go into the full schematic thing, get into the offenses, yeah, he's going to be discounted because the Bears are going to be, you know, they've got two wide receivers in front of whoever's coming in as a rookie, and you have a rookie quarterback. You don't know what that connection is going to be like. It's probably going to take a year or two. Look at the JSN right now. JSN could easily be on that developmental path where people are tanking him down. He hasn't lost all the value, but people are definitely lower, and he's now like wide receiver 7 in the 2022 or 2023 class, it feels like, with all these other guys that really performed as rookies. It probably happened on the same wavelength of, if a rookie wide receiver was drafted to the Bears, you're probably not coming in and being the wide receiver one from day one on this team. Like, even if it's Rome Odunze, you're probably not going to be better than DJ Moore and Keenan Allen year one. It's just not really, I mean, the outlier scenario is there, but it's not, I would not be the mean average, I would say. So I definitely think that whoever goes there is probably going to be discounted because of what we saw with JSN last year. Yeah. Give them 2-3 years and we might finally get there.
So the one landing spot, the one thing I'm waiting to find out here, and I just want to get your opinion on this. This is not necessarily just rookie related. What do you think the Bills do? You think the Bills trade for, I know T. Higgins isn't the answer, but Ayuk is still out there on the trade block. Like, it feels like they have to find an answer for losing Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and it's not Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir. But what do you think is going to happen in Buffalo? Are they drafting someone? And if they do, where are you going to put them? What are your thoughts about that?
You can't trade for anybody because you're still cap strung, and that's why you had to let go of Stephon Diggs, along with everything else that goes with Stephon Diggs currently being with the Bills. It looks like that kind of soured, but you also needed cap room on that team, which obviously they had their Black Monday day about a month ago or whatever, whenever they released all of their defensive players within one day. Stephon Diggs was just another part of that. And you know what you can't do with this team right now? Bring in T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk and then pay him a $30 million a year contract. That's not feasible with where this team is right now. So you then go to, do you draft a player in the first round? No, because you have too many other holes on this team and you're paying Josh Allen to be a superstar quarterback. Build it like the Chiefs are doing. Now, I know they've taken some day one, day two wide receivers. I don't think they do it here. This offense is going to run through a hodgepodge misfit of toys that they're going to try to scheme open. I fully believe that week one, you will see Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid out there. You might have a guy that hits in the fourth, fifth, sixth round for this team. I don't think you see a wide receiver off the board of the Bills any sooner than that.
Ooh, interesting. So if that is the case, though, like if they do bring in even if it is a day two, you know, round two, round three, round four wide receiver, like that's got to pique some interest because those are not world beaters in Buffalo. Like there's no reason that you're going to be like, oh yeah, Curtis Samuel's going to hold off Brendan Rice. Like,
you know how long we've been waiting for a wide receiver one to emerge in KC, and I still don't think it's Rashee Rice either. I think he is kind of what he is as well, and they're probably going to bring in another wide receiver, and you're going to see a bunch of – I would fully bet on it looking more like Green Bay than it does like a Minnesota Vikings where you have another guy. I don't think they're going back. You already switched up your OC. I don't think you're going back to the days of giving Josh Allen a wide receiver one. You're paying him too much now. You've already got Dalton Kincaid. You've put weapons around him. They need a running back much more than they do a wide receiver to really supplement James Cook right now. Because if you try to put James Cook and keep running Josh Allen as you have been, where he's your power back, it's been fantastic to have it for fantasy because he scored 15 rushing touchdowns last year. But I don't know how sustainable it is, and I don't know if you want to put your $55 million a year quarterback in that position every time. Go get yourself that Audric Estime if he doesn't go to Tampa. Like I think they've got so many holes on this team, you can't be spending that high draft capital at the wide receiver whenever you just let go of the wide receiver high draft capital route, and it hasn't worked. Start to build it differently. Build through that defense. Use your misfit of toys at the wide receiver. Scheme everybody open, and you can win that way. But I don't think it's going to go back to the days of giving him a Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I very much feel like they're in the boat of we can't beat them, join them type of mentality when it comes to Kansas City. And they're going to try and replicate that as much as they possibly can. They're going to find receivers to serve roles. I do think they're going to bring something in. I don't think it's going to be the T. Higgins. Like everyone, like I said, I've hoped they'd trade for somebody or bring someone in, but it just, as you mentioned, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen had a great connection for a while. It helped, you know, Josh Allen really grow and mature into the quarterback that he is today. Now let's see if he's a superstar. Can you do it without a superstar wide receiver? Can you do it with just Dalton Kincaid? And maybe that's your Travis Kelce. Maybe that's the guy that's going to carry this offense and lead him in receiving. A lot of question marks there, but I just know that the common conversation is, oh, Buffalo takes X wide receiver in the first round. They're automatically the 108 or 109. And it's like, I guess.
Yep. Just wait till you see Mac Hollins playing starting X week one for the Buffalo Bills.
That one I don't doubt at all. That dude can run block with the best of them. So he's going to be out there.
He's probably like, if I have any best ball team out there and Mac Hollins is available, yeah, I will probably scoop up some Mac Hollins pretty easy. I would actually pay something for Mac Hollins. That's how disgustingly into that hole that I am, but yeah, I love me some Mac Hollins.
Well, we chatted about everything here. Tight ends. Did you want to talk about anything tight ends? I mean, it's obviously Brock Bowers. I know everyone has a different opinion about tight end two of JT Sanders. I've heard other names. Do you just want to throw out a sleeper, a different name other than JT Sanders and Brock Bowers?
Dallin Holker, Colorado State.
All right. I'm going to go with just because it's deeper. I know everyone's talking Ben Sinnott, but Eric Hall liked him before he got hurt. And when he moved to Iowa, had him in my C2C. But we'll see how that recovery and what he actually looks like. So, yeah, that's about it. Fun part there.
Yeah, definitely not the position that I'm going to – I spend a ton of time on. Kind of like the quarterbacks, I'll let the NFL tell me, and then I'll kind of go back and recirculate to the tight ends afterwards.
Yep. So that's rookie class. We have the NFL draft coming up here in just 2 days as you're listening to this. So Thursday, definitely tune in to Destination Devi YouTube channel. Going to be just the best of the best production, best of the best show. Great breakdown. So much fun last year and even the year before watching. It's the place to be. So make sure you're there. Do go to Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you use code DDD at sign up. If you do deposit $10 or more, you get, you know, automatic entries into everything. You do have up to a $100 deposit match. So just make sure you keep that in mind as well. And then you can get entered into all the fun stuff and the giveaways that are going to be available on the draft stream. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap out of here, man?
Nope, can't wait to spend the next out of the next 72 hours. We'll probably be there for 15 to 20 of them. So between this pod and 3 days of the draft stream, be a hell of a good time.
It's going to be an absolute blast. So, yep, again, patreon.com/allgas. Make sure you are part of the community. If you can, get yourself into the Heisman tier or the Destination 5 tier. That is where you're going to find all of the content creators. You get additional content for AMAs. You get the morning drives. Actually Discord specific content, so make sure you do get tap in there. And of course there's voice chat where you're going to find everybody all the time. So again, patreon.com/allgas, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Overreaction Podcast.